Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, ready to have a great, although slightly weird, Friday. So I think you picked a good day to be with us. Thanks for being with us, by the way. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate all the kindness you do us, including praying for us and supporting us so that we can do this work and being here on a Friday. Or maybe it's a Saturday morning where you are. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here for Weird Questions. Weird Questions with Jimmy Akin. What a way to end the week. And this hour, Rose Sweet is here. And that is always
a special day. Don't say weird.
No, but this is what you do now, Rose. And this is how I want you. Like whenever we're doing a special show following you, like Weird Questions with Jimmy, or you take that theme now and you incorporate it into the hour you do before that. So we have a fully weird Friday now.
That's right. And you know what's really weird? I didn't get my water this time.
Look right there. There's Edgar with your water. Oh my gosh. Can I just call you Prima Donna, or do you want me to call you Rose for the show? Okay.
Yeah,
no, because I'm happy to just say.
Or your Royal Highness works too. Thank you.
I bet it does. All right. So you decided to do weird divorce questions. And so people can call and ask you your weird divorce questions
if
they want. But you got some things we're going to go through first. But
yes, and this comes from my work as a Catholic coach. People call me in their difficult situations, or they're talking about their adult children, and things seem really, really bad in the situation. And so they ask, is it okay to divorce? And this is a loaded question.
Is it ever?
Well, most of the time, no. But sometimes, yes, and that's where we have to, and that's why I thought maybe we could address this, you know, today. I get some really weird questions, like, my husband never picks up his laundry for the last 36 years. Can I divorce him? And you know the answer to that.
It wasn't my wife, was it? Because all of a sudden that kind of scared me.
Well, her name was Missy, but she didn't give her last name.
I pick up my laundry sometimes. I know, that's extremely annoying. I mean, if she wants you to pick up the laundry, come on. But no.
But seriously, because this is, and you and I, we play back and forth, because usually we are on very heavy topics and we don't want to go too down into a depressive area. But this is a serious topic. The church has beautiful Catholic answers for us.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about some of that today.
We're very, very serious about marriage.
Yes.
And there's a million reasons for that. You know, from the good of the spouses to the good of the children to the good of the society to God's will, to God's plan, to all of that. There's a million reasons why marriage is very serious business.
Serious and very beautiful. And if we can really open up to receive and understand all the beauty on the human level, we'll begin to get a glimpse of even how God loves us, how tenderly and permanently and fully God loves us.
All right, so you want to give us a kind of a primer on the Christian idea of marriage, the Catholic Christian idea of marriage?
Yeah.
And then we'll do some weird questions about divorce.
Okay, so I always say you can't really understand what the Catholic Church teaches on divorce or annulment or remarriage until you first go back to the basics, and that's marriage. What is marriage? What does marriage demand of the parties?
Yeah.
So I brought two main things today to talk about. One, marriage requires three things: fidelity, permanence, and openness to children. Okay?
Okay.
It also requires one man, one woman of a certain age, right? So
Having attained a certain age.
Right. age. Okay, No, you know, we could even, if it's nuanced, if the person is not able to function at a required age.
In a marital way.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Anyway, you know, we all think we know what fidelity is. That's like you don't have sex or, you know, touch anybody else when you're married.
Oh, yeah.
But that's so limited. That's like limiting fruitfulness in a marriage. Mm-hmm. Fidelity means that you are really open to fully giving yourself in any way possible to preserve, protect, defend the good of the spouse.
Right. Well, would it be a lack of fidelity, for example, if I were bad-mouthing my spouse behind her back?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here's another one that's very common. If your mother called up and wanted you to break your plans with Missy and say, just don't worry about her. I come first in your life. I'm your mother.
Yeah.
And you said, yes, mother. That's also a form of infidelity.
Yeah, right. My mother, seven kids, she never made that call, I can tell you. It was more like, is there anything that you could do with Missy and stay away from for a while so I can get some stuff done around the house? No, I'm just kidding. My mom. But I see what you're saying.
Right,
yeah. So,
right.
Like, I'm loyal to someone other than my spouse, or I'm responsive to someone other than my spouse as the primary mover in my life. That would be
unfaithful. Okay, and there's the word, because you're going to be responsive to your children and your boss and your friends and everybody
my parents.
Else.
Yeah.
But primary,
yeah.
Other than God, your spouse deserves your fidelity in many, many, many different ways. Okay, so, and I'm going to give some references for anybody who wants to look this stuff up and find out more about it, because I love our Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it's in canon law too. So marriage is ordered to the good of the spouses. It's ordered to their good. And let me, if I have time, I know we're at the beginning of our hour. I've heard from some people that if you're unhappy in your marriage, and your spouse doesn't love you and said, I don't love you, but I will be faithful to you and take care of you financially and be with you till death, and that's good enough. That's not good enough. The good of the spouses means you need to be kind and loving and attentive to your spouse.
Mm.
So marriage is ordered to the good of the spouses.
So you, in other words, you can't kind of abandon your spouse within the marriage.
And
that's
this,
not...
No, and this happens
All the time.
Now, it doesn't mean it can't change or be fixed, but it's not good. So Canon Law 1055 and Catechism of the Catholic Church 2363, paragraph 2363, talks about marriage. In fact, the whole section on marriage in the Catechism is beautiful, and it's not big, heavy words. Anybody can understand it.
Yeah.
It's so rich. Marriage also, when both parties come together and exchange consent, saying that I am ready, willing, and able, there's no pressure, to be faithful to you till death do us part and to be open to children, a valid marriage bond arises out of that consent. It has a life of its own, that marriage bond.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And it's invisible. We can't see it, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we all presume that when people get married, a valid marriage bond is there, but we have found out later that sometimes there's such a serious problem at the beginning with one or both of them that even at consent, if it was defective in somehow or there was something very serious going on, maybe a valid marriage bond did not come out of the consent. But we assume, we give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, right. So, but that's important to the way you said that if there was some obstacle there at the beginning, that's what the church is talking about when it says a marriage is null. It's not saying the marriage is canceled. It's saying it didn't happen. The bond was not created for this or that reason.
Right. And I love using the word bond because we can have other very valid bonds, but maybe not a marriage bond. But so,
can I ask you one other question
yes.
about infidelity? And I only ask you this because I think we've become super casual about this. But would you classify pornography as infidelity? I mean, I know the answer to it, but I want you to elaborate an answer because I think our society doesn't view pornography as infidelity.
Okay. You know what? This is a good question. Let's go there. So in pornography, I'm using my mind, my will, my imagination, my senses, and even my genitals sometimes to engage with and focus on and get pleasure from somebody other than my spouse.
Well, that sounds like infidelity. Not when you put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
right, okay.
You know what?
I gotcha.
Thank you for the opportunity to put it that way, because
right.
that is the way.
Yeah. Right.
It's not just looking at a naked picture and feeling good. It's much deeper than that. Your parts of yourself that belong to your spouse are going away from that to this other person or whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay. So what you said you had two things. So the first thing was you described marriage to us as fidelity, permanence, and the requirements of marriage, fidelity, permanence, openness, fertility.
Right.
Was
and
there
I,
a
wanted
second
to,
thing?
I wanted to throw up for I know some people out there are want to know more and go to Catechism, paragraph 1638, and then Catechism paragraphs 1643 through 1654. Can I say that again? 1643 through 1654, and this is the name of that whole section, The Goods and Requirements of Conjugal Love. It's beautiful.
By the way, if you just type into your computer, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1643, it'll take you exactly to there. Like, your computer will take you there. That's how...
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
There's an angel in there.
I think it's Google. And I do not think Google is an angel.
No, but angels can use Google.
Yeah. Right. So, that's true.
Okay. So in that goods and requirements of conjugal love, what marriage really is, what it demands, what's expected of both parties is that total, free, full, faithful, fruitful self-giving.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
I have to say, it actually sounds good when you say it that way.
It does
sound good. It feels like that's what we want marriage to be.
And
none
is
of this,
what we
this
want.
Silly compromise that the modern world makes. That's good. That's wholesome what you just described.
It is.
That's exciting.
Okay, but let me ask you, why do people settle for less?
TV? I don't know.
No, they're afraid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That if they don't settle for less, they'll have nothing. And I talk about this with my clients. We are so afraid of the empty hands. We're so afraid to have nothing. So we will settle for garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And we will prostitute ourselves in the process to have something rather than nothing.
All right. Then the second thing you were going to talk about was what?
Okay.
But wait, hang on. Just tell me, say what it was, because I got to take a break. And so this is going to be a tease.
Now that we know about marriage, it's about divorce.
Okay, so we're going to talk about what the church says about divorce when
yes.
we come back. And then we'll do weird questions
yes.
about divorce.
Yes.
All right, the number is 888-318-7884. You want to talk about this with Rose? You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Going to take a quick break. Right back with more weird questions about divorce with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Seraphic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
One of the greatest theologians and Franciscan mystics in church history, Bonaventure also wrote a biography of St. Francis that was commissioned by the Franciscans themselves. It took a saint and true mystic to understand a true saint and mystic. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest, and yes, that is her actual name, Rose Sweet. She didn't change it to that. And you can find out about what Rose does at rosesweet.com, and what she does is give wonderful talks, and she does coaching for people, Catholic people. She's a Catholic life coach, and she writes great books. And then she comes in here and talks with us. And
thank you.
Today we're talking about divorce. Okay, so you gave us the basic outline of what the church says marriage is. And so help me with the divorce, because I don't want to shock you, Rose, but I know Catholics who are divorced. Da, da, da.
I know.
Yeah, of course we do. I mean, we all do. I mean, that's the situation of the world right now. So what's the church actually teach
okay.
about divorce?
So the one thing I always want to say when I have a platform, and thank you for this, is we have to, even though there are people in gravely sinful situations, we have to stop dumping shame on them. You know, they should
yeah.
be coming to the church for help and for, you know, reconciliation and for grace and everything. But sadly, they judge the church by the people who are at the front door sometimes. And we have to be more loving and more understanding, not tolerating sin, not promoting sin at all,
mm-hmm.
but saying, come in, we know you're hurting, let us help you.
Yeah.
So that's my little 2 cents on that.
That's a good 2 cents, though, because whenever I speak at a Catholic parish, I always say to the parish receptionist, you're the second most important person here. It's actually should be third, because the priest should be there too, not just Jesus, but the priest should probably. But I mean, most people who experience the Catholic Church come to a Catholic church looking for something, the person that is the church for them is the parish receptionist.
That's very true. And the tone, the attitude,
right.
the words.
Yeah.
It's a big burden.
Yeah, well, it's a calling, really. And I hope pastors treat it that way. It's not just like, it's not a small thing to be the person who answers the phone at a Catholic church.
Well, and in their defense, let's pray for them, too, because they get a lot of stuff dumped on them, too.
Of course.
They have to pick up
right.
that phone.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure that's true.
They have to be strong.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, done it myself. All right, so divorce then.
In the catechism, if you want to find out exactly what the church thinks about divorce, go to sections, paragraph 2382 to 2384, 23 through 2386. Divorce is a grave offense to the natural law, to the dignity of persons, to the family, to the culture. It violates so many things, just as you said at the beginning. For a thousand million reasons, marriage is good. The same is said about divorce. Divorce is horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
And yet, at some times, it cannot be avoided. And
no.
The church understands that, and she's here for us. We have Catholic answers for everybody and every situation. So the church says that in severe situations, you may physically separate.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in danger, if you're, being violently abused, your children are being abused. Here's what it says. Let me read. There are some situations in which living together becomes practically impossible for a variety of reasons. Now, the catechism does not list those reasons because they're varied and they depend on the people involved. But listen to what it says. Living together becomes practically impossible. Somebody who's yelling or screaming or just all kinds of things constantly, they probably need help. Everybody needs help in those cases. When you separate, though, the bond, that marriage bond that we talked about when you stood at the altar and said, I do, that marriage bond is still there. And it's still valid, presumed valid, and you must honor it and live within it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to stay in a situation that is intolerable, impossible. You should be moved to corrective action. Get help. Find another way. Get everybody some help. Here's another thing. Here's canon law. 1151. Spouses have the duty and the right to preserve conjugal living. That means you need to stay together, unless a legitimate cause excuses them. What is an illegitimate cause?
Well, certainly those things that you started with, danger, and to the one of the spouses or to the children.
Right.
That's a legitimate cause.
Right. Or what if a spouse is so verbally abusive and violent that the other spouse has shrunk down into some form of mental illness, victimhood, and can't think straight and can't remember when they did their laundry? And they're overcome with it. They both need help. They need help. So if you see anybody in your family or somebody you know that they're going through that, the church doesn't say you have to stay there and be crushed into the ground.
Right.
So, yeah. but you have an obligation to go get help somehow. So grave mental, physical danger. Here's another canon law. 1692. So anyway, I've thrown those numbers out. There's a lot there.
They're all pretty much in the 1600s, though.
They're in the 1600s, right.
Okay, so all that being said, it sounds like there's two sides to this coin, and they're like we can't, or two sides to this story that you can't ever let go of either of them, or you're going to be kind of inhuman. And the one side is, like the Bible says, God hates divorce. That seems so definitive. But on the other side of it is compassion and welcome and forgiveness for those or care for those who have gone through a divorce.
Oh, you know what? Let's just put it in another analogy. I hate drunk drivers.
Uh-huh.
But if my son gets drunk and gets in an accident and kills somebody, God forbid, I'm not going to hate him. I'll be so grieved.
Right.
But I'll recognize, my goodness, he needs help. And he went to a bad place, and let's get him back to where he needs to be.
Right.
So yes, God hates divorce. But if it happens, God doesn't hate the people in the situation.
Oh, that's really helpful. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And I didn't make this up, but it's called love the sinner, hate the sin.
Oh man, people hate that.
I know they do.
Because we just don't like the idea that anything is sin anymore.
I mean,
you sin, I sin. You know, like I don't. There's a kind of like, oh no. It's ugly when we do it, but we do it, and we should hate it because it separates us from God and from each other. All right, so you want to get to some weird questions then?
Yes. So right,
let me give out the number again.
Yes.
888-318-7884. If you've got a weird question about divorce that you'd like to ask Rose Sweet, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I see you have some listed here. Do you want me to read some of the questions
that you... Yes, you read them.
All right.
Wait, you pretend that you're one of my coaching clients and you're in a difficult situation and you're asking me the question.
Okay. All right. First of all, all right.
I'll try to be really nice and compassionate.
I would not come to you for coaching.
I know.
It has nothing to do with the quality of you as a coach. It has to do with, I already know what you would say, and you would take Missy's side in all of this.
That's right.
that's right. All right. So I'm now the person who comes to you.
Okay.
Rose.
Yes, Cy.
Sorry about my loud talking. I don't know how that started. But
that's okay, but since you pay my hefty fee, I'll listen to it.
Can I divorce if my spouse is cheating?
No, you may not. You may feel like divorce. Well, you know, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not necessarily sin to think about maybe I should get divorced. If you just let it come in and go out and don't nurse that thought. What the thought of divorce is, I'm in pain. I don't see any way out.
Mm-hmm.
What's a quick fix?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the natural human tendency. I'm in pain. There's no way out. I need a quick fix. That's why we even think of the word divorce. Okay. We shouldn't. Okay. But there are ways to get yourself out of it, but they take more work and they take more time.
Okay, so cheating is not what Jesus was talking about in Matthew's gospel when he said, except for porneia.
No.
No divorce except for porneia.
No. And I know you've done shows on this and topics, and you have articles on Catholic.com about mm-hmm. the word porneia. You know, it's illicit sexual activity and attempted marriage, you know, like between father and daughter, things that were just not right. And the people knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're unfaithful to God and his covenant with us all the time, he doesn't divorce us.
No,
he calls us. He calls us back to repentance. And I love the story of Hosea in the Old Testament. He had to marry the town whore and everybody laughed at him. And she was unfaithful to him over and over and over and over. And God said, keep taking her back. But when you take her back, she can't bring her infidelity she has to agree to let it go, let him go, whatever, and come back and try again. You take her back on those grounds, okay?
What a story.
It's a great story.
It's a really beautiful story. If for anybody, especially anyone who's afflicted with, I keep committing the same sin and I can't, and I don't want to go back to confession. And you really read about Hosea because that's the model God is giving you.
It's beautiful. And finally, God says the people are ready to understand in a certain sense in this imagery, I am the husband. I am the husband of my people, mm-hmm. Israel. And I will take you back over and over and over as long as you leave that stuff outside. You got to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the church does not teach that adultery or cheating in a marriage is grounds for divorce.
But aren't you calling for people to be kind of a doormat then?
Never. Cheating is a wake-up call.
Okay.
And that cheating is a wake-up call that says something has been disordered. And now we're seeing the fruit of it.
Because mm-hmm.
let's say, you know, you had an affair with your secretary, or you don't have a secretary, but...
No, I know, but I'm getting one now. No,
but that started a long time ago. Before the affair, your infidelities in the way you thought about things started a long time ago.
Right.
And it came full fruit in an affair, okay?
Yeah.
So that's a wake-up call. We need to get ourselves back on track. Who are we? What about our commitment? What do we really want in life? And this is where you get a good therapist, a counselor, a spiritual director.
Yeah.
And get rid of the lover and get yourself back into a place where you can live together in peace.
I think the older you get, the easier it is to see this one, especially for men, because you're young and you're hot-blooded and you have a lot of pride. And if your spouse were to cheat on you, that's like a murdering offense. But you get older and you go, people are people. Humans are humans. I mean...
Does that mean you're tolerating it?
No, it just means, look, I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but it means, I guess you put it in a perspective of this too can be overcome, you know, like... Yeah, you know.
That's the message. This too can be overcome, and I'm not going to be overreactive anymore. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to go His way.
Yeah. All right. That music means that you have to leave. No, it doesn't. You can stay, but we got to take a quick break. We got weird questions for you, Rose. So we got to get to the phone lines. All right.
We will.
This is my problem with you. I don't go to the phones because I'm enjoying talking with Rose.
Were we supposed to go to the phones?
Yeah, we're going to the phones right after this.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Monday on More to Life, dealing with uncertainty.
Is not knowing what to do getting you down? We'll help you identify the next steps.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet, our guest. We're talking about divorce. Among the things that Rose speaks to people about is annulment and divorce and all of that. Rose has a wonderful ministry, and you can find out all about it at rosesweet.com. And I'm going to ask you just two more quick ones, and then I'm going to go to Tim and Christy, who are on the line, and anybody else who calls and wants to ask a weird question about divorce. But because we were supposed to do that, this role playing where I was the client, and then I forgot my job and I stopped doing it. So sorry. So Rose, thanks for seeing me. Can I divorce my spouse if my spouse has alcoholism or Alzheimer's?
No, but you need to get help right away.
Okay. You're good at this. Okay. All right. How about this one?
Okay. Wait. Can we go back to the cheating one?
Oh, we're doing that's all the way back. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, but just really quick.
You're wearing me out, Rose.
If the person has been habitually cheating for a long time, starting at around the time of the marriage and throughout the marriage, that's a whole different situation. It's not a one-off or whatever. It is, at the beginning, they were either they didn't intend to or weren't capable of fidelity.
And that might be grounds for a declaration of nullity.
This
marriage never did form a sacred bond.
That's an impediment to the bond. Anyway, last question.
All right. Can I divorce if we're not having sex?
Well, what do you think, Cy?
I have to say, now that you said what you just said, I think, that depends on when did this start. I mean, have you ever, as a couple,
Okay.
Am I giving the wrong answer, Rose? You look horrified by my answer.
No, I'm horrified how smart you are. Because,
oh, I am. Thank
because
you.
Because you actually, that's what we're talking about. If somebody's unwilling to or unable to have sex, and that was a problem from the very, very beginning,
okay.
There could be a deeper issue there that was an impediment to a marriage bond. However, over time, with illness, mental illness, depression, people aren't having sex, okay? Yeah. That's not grounds for annulment, and that's not a reason for divorce, but it certainly is a reason to go get help. Nobody should have to live that way.
No. Although I think it's more common than they tell you at the beginning of marriage. Like, I feel like we should be more honest. Like, there's going to be periods where this relationship is not going to be very sexual. It might even have serious problems in that area.
Okay, good. And let me say, too, it might even be years.
Yeah.
It might even be years, but the marriage bond remains, and the love can remain, and a good life, a decent life can remain, too. But again, people usually need help sorting all this stuff out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes.
Rose Sweet, our guest, Weird Questions About Divorce this hour, 888-318-7884. First up is Tim in Wyoming watching on Facebook. Tim, thank you for your patience. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Tim. I'm divorced. I'm Catholic and I'm divorced. And my ex-wife and I have a child. And my friend got in the mix and they got married and now they have a child. And I took a break from dating and stuff because I'm still kind of hung up on my ex-wife. But I'm kind of worried religious-wise, spiritual-wise. Is it like a cycle where I'm getting caught up in committing adultery, coveting another man's wife, or thinking about another man's wife, even though I was there first?
Wow.
Okay, Tim, thank you for your honesty, and I hope a lot of people are listening, because here's the first thing. Pretend you and your wife were back in your marriage, and you were lusting over her in the marriage. That's a sin. Lust of any type, in any situation, even in marriage, that means I got to have you, I want you, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're using the word lust, it's not just sexual attraction.
I always feel cautious about this because I think modern people don't know the distinction between sexual attraction and lust.
Right.
But lust is giving into the use of another person as an object,
right.
Really.
Starting with your mind and then your imagination and then your emotions and everything. Okay. And you're probably remembering a lot of the good that was in the marriage. And I don't know, Tim, do you have an annulment yet?
No.
Okay, so you are, in the eyes of the church, still married to your wife. That marriage bond is presumed to have been valid and still exists. And neither one of you have the capacity or the ability to, according to the church, to attempt marriage again. Okay, that's a complex thing. But right now for you, I know you're probably longing for love and affection and missing the good things, but do not lust after her or anybody.
But were you saying you're attracted to her, Tim? You still...
Well, I tried to say that I would like, I see myself with her, especially as like the parent of my child. Like I think that I compare everybody I try to date to her, and she's in my dreams. It's crazy.
Well, that's a desire is not the same as lust.
And that's normal. That's normal. But what it means is that you are very attached to her in a way where she's left the marriage. That's a burden for you and a grief for you. And I would suggest this can eat you up from the inside out. And I would suggest you get some help from a wise and holy person, a Catholic, who can help you sort through some of these things. You should not be dating. Do you know that, Tim?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, So the Catholic Church says that you guys are still married until you can go to your local tribunal and give them enough evidence and say, you know what, I think there was something really broken in the very beginning. Will you help me look at this and see if there was in fact not a valid marriage bond so that we could be free from that? Or find somebody to help you if there, and we presume there already is a valid bond. How do you live, Tim? How do you live now with this woman who shared your bed, and now you have a child with who's married to somebody else? This is a sticky, horrible situation to be in. And I think you need some help. Don't try to do this on your own. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I just was not sure about the adultery part. Like, am I, according to the Ten Commandments, going after his wife?
She's not ultimately. According to the eyes of the church, she's not his wife. She's not able to attempt marriage until the two of you receive an annulment through the Catholic Church in the tribunal. So,
okay.
But the deeper issue is you're in grief, you're frustrated, and you are still deeply and emotionally attached to a woman who has left the marriage. And you're going to need some help properly handling that. And Tim, please, you're not ready to date. So don't even try to do it.
Okay.
Get some help first. Call me. Email me.
RoseSuite.com.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Tim. Let's go to Mariposa, California. Christy is listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Christy, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
So this is in regards to my son. He is married to a woman who is very abusive. He's turned into sort of a shell of a man, how you described earlier. Because of some communication we've had with her, there's reason she expressed that a psychologist had told her she was at the emotional maturity of a 13-year-old when they got married. Now, I don't know if the psychologist actually said that and if he's qualified, but it does give some reason to question the validity of their marriage. But my son is loyal to a fault, and so he is determined to stay with her. Even though we see what a completely destructive situation it is there anything as parents that we can do? I mean, does a separation or possible annulment have to be taken on by the couple themselves?
Yes. The first thing I would say to every parent out there, and I've learned this a hard way, get your nose out of your kid's marriage. And I'm saying that a little bluntly, but also leave your heart in there for your son. He needs help. So first of all, you pray.
Yeah.
Second of all, get some private time with him and try to reach his heart and just ask him some questions. Son, if I could get you some help, if I could help you find a way to make this situation better for you and still within the mind of the church, would you be willing to explore that? No, Mom, I'm not ready. Okay. No, I love her. Then you have your answer. Now you're carrying their cross. You bear that cross with dignity and you ask God, even in 10 years from now, if there's another open door, let me see it, Lord. But you can pray and offer him help. But if he's an adult and he has free will, even God will not impose himself on your son.
I know.
I've been there. Just carry your cross with dignity. Love him. Pray for him. Love her, too. Pray for her, too. And then help him. Maybe he needs to learn how to set boundaries. Maybe he's afraid of rejection, afraid of conflict. See if there's anything you can do to help. I mean, if the door is shut, just back off for a while. But not permanently, but just for a while. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. And just pray that somebody sees something or improves.
So if she's abusive to the point where laws are being broken, you can call the authorities. Okay? But usually it's not that severe.
No, that's right. And it, with her, it's definitely emotional.
Okay.
Emotional abuse.
Well, if you can't, you're not probably not going to change her, but maybe you can help the son and maybe not. So hang in there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye, Christy.
Thank you, Christy. We're taking weird questions about divorce. They haven't been that weird. They've been very sincere questions about divorce so far, but we'll keep, we'll.
I know, but that's what's so weird about it.
Yeah. Life is so weird, isn't it?
Life is weird.
I think it's funny that we're so surprised. Like, how did I end up in this situation? Yeah, because...
I know. I hear people say that all the time. I can't believe. I go, really? It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I've felt that. Yeah, it's just... Life is really weird. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City.
and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
One God, three persons, but they're distinct from one another. Here, you know, I'm trying to talk to 10-year-olds, right?
I am going to give you an analogy. It might work on a 10-year-old. All the analogies that you get for the Blessed Trinity, like in popular culture, are really bad. The three-leaf clover business, terrible analogy. Yeah, unbelievably bad. Don't do that one.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I think what I was saying, Rose, before we went to the break is like you know this, that Missy and I had just very grave marriage troubles in a certain part of our marriage where
we needed
a lot of help.
Right.
And you do ask yourself, like, this isn't anything that I expected. How am I here? And I'm sure Missy asked it many, many times. Life is weirder than you expect it to be.
And we wake up, I think, the older we get. Hopefully we do. And that's why I think as you get older, like you were saying, you're not being nonchalant when you say, well, these things happen. You know, adultery happens. You're not being nonchalant.
No, not at all.
You're recognizing really how broken the world is, how sinful we can be, and how much we need the Savior, how much we need our Lord, how much we need the church and all the graces there for us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the consolation.
And God is good. He's very good at healing. This is one of his top three things that he can do, healing.
Yes.
His healing. Yes. I'll tell you the other two if you want to know sometime.
I do.
Yeah? Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Preaching the kingdom of God and casting out demons are the other two.
Ooh.
Mary in Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. You are on with Rose. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, hi. I was Mary. I got my annulment, and obviously, the situation is much complicated than that, but I have a specific question about my case, which I testify. I was in a different state, but I testified on the phone, and the things that I testify, I testify, and the next thing I know, a few months later, I got my annulment. I want to know how important was to our marriage in the case of annulment that my ex-husband had a porn addiction. But he told everybody that the reason why he was leaving me was because we didn't have the Holy Spirit when we got married, and that's why our marriage was difficult.
Okay, so, the tribunal didn't give you any of the details you wanted. So
they.
Yeah. Okay.
They gave me nothing. All they told me was that I got an annulment.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, obviously you have some questions, and I think that's good because you want to not just accept a piece of paper. You want to understand what happened, and that's great. You have canonical rights, and I don't know the details, and we don't have time to go over them, but you can go to your tribunal, go back to the diocese, and ask. You should have gotten a copy of the judgment, or you can ask for a copy of that, and that is maybe a one- or two-page summary where the judges wrote what they saw in the case, what they read, what they saw, and why they delivered the verdict that they did. And that can be very, very helpful. And your tribunal people should cooperate with you on that and help you. Somebody should be able to sit down and help you really understand. Does that help?
Well, we didn't do it in Oregon. We did it. It was in another state where he lived. And they told me that they were not going to tell me because I actually send them an email, and I asked. I wanted to know more details, and they're like, "We're just not giving those."
Here's what happens. You may have gotten, as we were talking about the receptionist at the parish, you may have gotten somebody on the phone who really doesn't understand what your rights are and just brushed you off. Okay, that's discouraging, but don't worry. And call me after the show if you want, or contact me. I will help you, because I do this for a lot of people, and I will help you address the tribunal in a way where you can get your questions answered. You have that right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mary, very much for that question. And look at this. This happens sometimes. Oh, tons of calls at the end of the show now.
I know. It's Murphy's Law. You're surprised.
Is it?
It's weird.
Why am I surprised at how weird life is?
Okay.
Joshua in College Station, Texas, listening on 88.5 FM. Glad to have you, Joshua. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yeah, good evening. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the divorce issue as regards to sexual immorality that Jesus was talking about. I like what you said, Rose, and you said that it's good for us to endure in forgiveness as regards what Jesus said, that we should forgive 77 times, 77 times, which that is what we are supposed to live for with the love that Jesus Christ has. But there are two separate kinds of sin entirely. There is an unwilling sin, and there is a willing sin. There are those that are bent on rebellion. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I have to just take a little bit of issue with what you said. I don't think as Catholics we would say that someone could commit a sin unwillingly. It's not a sin is an act of the will.
Okay, good. Okay, so sin is an act. Okay, like now let's say it that way. Maybe I'm missing. Maybe like I didn't say it the way I'm supposed to say it. Okay, so now someone commits a sin. For instance, you commit a sin, and you are willing to repent.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's a separate thing that you need forgiveness. Even though the person continues to do that sin, and you can see it from his heart that the person continues trying to make changes, and the person actually needs help. But there are some that they are heart-hardened, that they are not ready to repent, and they are really, really, really bent on doing the same thing again.
Oh.
And those set of people, that is what I'm talking about. Those set of people is a special case entirely, and that is what Jesus was talking about on the ground of divorce. The children of Israel themselves, God delivered them from Egypt.
Hang on, Joshua, I do appreciate that. I think we have a difference on this. And I would suggest, if you would like, we have a focus episode about what did Jesus mean in that quote in Matthew's gospel. Of course, it's not in any of the other gospels, only in Matthew's gospel. And so why in particular did Jesus say, except in the case of porneia? And at Catholic Answers Focus, if you type in Catholic Answers Focus, Carlo Broussard, that's who we did that episode with. And I say that we differ only because I got to be careful about what we say on the air. We don't believe that the sexual sin that Jesus is referring to is something that happens late in marriage, and just because the person is unrepentant, it destroys the marriage. We don't believe a marriage can be destroyed. It either happened or it didn't happen. So the Catholic understanding, the broad Christian understanding, is that what Jesus is referring to is sexual sin that got in the way of the marriage ever happening in the first place. But I would refer you to that focus episode with Carlo. Did you want to add anything, Rose?
Oh, yeah. And I think you were talking about forgiveness or about the unrepentant or whatever. And I just want to throw in, too, even when somebody is willing to repent or they are hard-hearted, as you said, and no way do they want to repent, we are obliged to forgive the offense done to us regardless of their state of mind.
Yeah, but you don't have to, you did give situations where you don't have to stay with the person and, like, serial infidelity where the person refuses to reform at all.
Right.
Oh, you're not stuck.
And here's another thing. Not just refuses, but what if they're actually incapable? There's another beautiful thing in the church that it's not, they're actually incapable
of fidelity.
Of changing. Right. Yeah. And so you're not obligated in that sense.
Joshua, I got to, like I said, lots of calls, though, some really good ones coming up. But thank you for the call, Joshua. Maria in California, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead, Maria, with your question for Rose.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Well, I am divorced, and I am contemplating asking for an annulment. There were many issues. I don't believe the marriage was really a valid one. But one of the things that towards the end of the marriage my husband said to me was that he had only asked me to marry him because a medium had told him he would marry a woman that looked like me.
Well,
I do not. I am not going to laugh at that, but that is that's ridiculous, Maria. And I know you know that, right? Did that hurt you when he said that? Did that hurt you?
At that point, probably not.
You were over it.
It had been 40 years of really difficult things.
But are you saying, Maria, that that points to his state of mind when he married you, that he was listening to a medium?
Yes. That's what I'm thinking, that it points to, you know, he wasn't faithful within the first month of marriage.
Well, there you have it. So in a certain sense, the comment about the medium consultation probably fits in with a lot of other red flags that you saw and remember back then, correct?
That I'm remembering now that I am considering filing for the annulment.
Right.
When you're young, you don't see those things.
Well, sometimes you do, and you don't want to believe they're there, or sometimes your parents warn you about them, and you don't want to listen. You're right. Sometimes we just don't see, but sometimes we also just don't hear, and we don't want to.
Sure.
And that's sad.
I unfortunately didn't have anybody to warn me.
I'm so sorry,
yeah,
Maria.
Yeah, I know. Well, Maria, stay on the high path. And you know what? This comment just speaks to the state of somebody's mind. He wasn't able to really render a capable decision for marriage at that time in his life. And it probably goes along with a lot of other problems.
Yeah. Maria, I appreciate that. I'm going to try. I guess I want to get one more person on, if I can, with Rose before we have to let her go. Andrew in Colorado, listening also to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Andrew, you got to be quick if you'd like a full answer from Rose.
Thank you. Yes, get right to the question. If a couple has had a couple of children and then a miscarriage or two, and then one of the spouses is completely unwilling to be open to more children, completely unwilling, is that considered infidelity?
This is a big, tough situation, and absolutely, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Let me give you an example, Andrew. I know that's probably very painful for both parties, but I know a woman in my family who could not take more than a few children. She was exhausted, she was physically tired, she was falling into depression. She loved her kids, but she could not, and even the doctor said, she just doesn't have the capacity to handle more children. And it would be an act of tenderness on the part of the husband to hear that and listen to that and grieve, obviously grieve, and maybe even get mad or feel hurt or rejected, but also to try to understand the wife. So in broad sense, if it is a selfish motive, and this is what we teach on any sinful behavior, if the motive is selfish and closed off and not generous, it's sinful or verging on sin. But if it is necessary to preserve some good, like sanity or health, then it may not be sinful.
Andrew, we do have another minute, so you want to follow up?
The capacity there was three kids, two miscarriages, and she said, I've had enough. And now that I look back on it, it's probably along the lines of capacity. I'm not sure she could have handled.
Okay, and that's a very tender thing to say. It's sad. I know it's sad. It's hurtful. But please don't lose your tenderness for that woman. For you. Is this your wife you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, Andrew. I will keep your family in my prayers.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Andrew, thank you so much for the call, and God bless you. I very much appreciate it. But you know what? Sometimes we have an image in our mind of this is the way marriage is supposed to be, and it was supposed to have more children in it, and then the spouse cannot for one reason or another, and you just have to grieve, I suppose.
And you have to be patient. You have to be patient.
Yeah. And God is good. He heals all kinds of things. I know I'm a testament to that.
Me too.
God heals.
Me too.
You healed, Rose? Has he healed you?
Most of the time.
Praise God. Me too. Healed by Jesus. And that's no joke. I'm not kidding around about that.
I know, me neither.
Not at all. He's so good. And Rose, you're good. It's always good.
Thank you,
Si. You are
too.
I mean, no one is good in the sense that God is good.
Just shut up. Right. Okay, good, good,
I
good.
I just want to.
I didn't say shut up this time, so there it is.
Well, oh, I know. I know we got all the way to the show, end of the show without you telling me to shut up.
I know.
God, what a beautiful thing, Rose.
Love you, Si.
We're getting better, you
yes.
and me.
Yes.
I love you too.
Okay.
All right. Peace, sister. We'll see you next time. And right now, Jimmy Akin's coming up. Weird questions for Jimmy Akin. And some of these questions, they're weird. And it's Jimmy Akin. Hang on. We'll be right back.